What happens to a culture when the church blesses degeneracy?
A new directive issued by the Pope says same-sex unions are to be blessed.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Pope Francis is changing the official Catholic doctrine that says homosexuality is depravity to now it can be blessed by the Catholic Church.
In fact, Pope Francis warned that being too rigid on absolutes can be contrary to nature.
Pope Francis, as head of the Catholic Church with 1.3 billion Catholics worldwide, says that people need to decide for themselves what's right and wrong, based on their own consciences, not the Ten Commandments of God.
And he says that same-sex unions can now be blessed by the Catholic Church. His decree will have a profound impact on morality throughout the world.
Jonathan Cahn is a best-selling author of 7 books, including The Return of the Gods. This is a fascinating book that says the ancient gods, which were really demon spirits, that were cast out by the gospel of Jesus Christ, have come back to influence events today.
Certainly the target for demonic spirits are churches, like the Catholic Church.
Jonathan Cahn, you're saying that after 2,000 years of calling same-sex unions a grievous sin, now the Pope is decreeing that Catholic churches throughout the world will bless homosexual unions.
The Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, the one whom Catholic doctrine says is the vicar of Christ, Messiah's representative on earth, decreed that the Catholic Church is now to give its blessings to same-sex unions. After nearly 2,000 years of designating such things as grievous sin, which has been the stand of Christianity for 2,000 years, the Pope has decided that the Catholic Church is now going to bless these unions. Now, the official Catholic doctrine is that they are, quote, contrary to natural law, grave depravity. So now the Church is going to bless what it says is intrinsically grave depravity by the decree of Pope Francis. The Catholic Church's last major statement on the issue said, God cannot bless sin. But now the Pope has declared that the Catholic Church apparently can bless sin. This is about the Pope telling the Catholic Church it is now going to give its blessing on same-sex couples, a same-sex union. The former statement of the Catholic Office of Doctrine that said God cannot bless sin, the Pope in effect fired that man and replaced him with a friend who was willing to issue this new directive.
The former statement said that God cannot bless sin. Now that's completely changed and replaced with this new decree, so practicing homosexuals can be blessed. So also then, fornication, adultery, immorality, they're all, according to the Pope, no longer sins.
Now if they who are sleeping together in such unions are to be blessed by the Church, then certainly heterosexual couples who are sleeping together, or in what the Bible says, fornication, must also be blessed by the Church. And what then is to stop the Church from having a blessing ceremony for couples in adultery? They can say, well, that's a sin against marriage, but so is this. Pope Francis and his leadership has said it's about inclusion and progressing. It's about being loving. No, it's not about inclusion or loving. But this is something else. It's called apostasy. This is the Pope's great moment of apostasy. It's a watershed moment. It's a red flag moment, a milestone for Catholicism and even for Western civilization. This is the same Pope who warned Christians against sin, no, idolatry, no, evil, no. He warned Christians against, quote, rigidity of, ready, the Ten Commandments, against being too set on the Ten Commandments. So which of the Ten Commandments must we not become too set on? Having other gods, idols, coveting, adultery, murder? Which ones exactly should we become less strong about?
It's not about inclusion. It's not about being loving. It's about the Catholic Church becoming apostate.
So the Pope is saying then not to become too rigid about moral standards, that rigidity on the commandments is the problem. So it's no longer absolutes, but it's relative values for each person to search their own conscience. It's like whatever feels good, do it.
The Pope went on to say that God gives us the freedom to search our own conscience for commandments. Really? So that thing that happened on Mount Sinai with Moses was a mistake. So Moses should have come down from the mountain and told the Israelites, I have these 10 commandments in stone, but don't get too set on them. Search your own conscience for your own commandments. And if your conscience says adultery is okay, go for it. Other gods, more power to you. Worshiping a golden calf as you're doing right now, God bless you. or may the golden calf bless you.
That's right. That golden calf was an abomination to God, but now we see the apostasy and what it looks like, undoing the commandments.
Pope Francis said that someone who holds strongly to such things as the Ten Commandments has something wrong with them. Does that include Jesus? Because Jesus was pretty set on them. The Pope went on to say that the Ten Commandments are not a gift from God. Really? Well, then who gave them? Did they descend to Sinai from a spaceship? He goes on to say that while the Ten Commandments are not a gift from God, the Beatitudes are because, quote, they make you feel good.
So we have a feel-good pope. God gave the Ten Commandments to mankind to give us a standard for morality in all cultures.
That's right.
But is it okay to commit adultery now? Apparently, it's okay to commit grave depravity. Right after he issued the directive to bless same-sex unions, Pope Francis issued this directive. Listen. Let us remain vigilant against sin, no, darkness, no, apostasy, no. Let us remain vigilant against rigid ideological positions, meaning positions from the Word of God. So it's not just don't hold firmly to the Word of God, but that those who do hold firmly or strongly to God's Word are actually evil. He goes on. Holding to such positions, meaning biblical positions, quote, separate us from reality and prevent us from moving forward. So according to the Pope, holding to the Word of God separates us from reality and prevents us from moving forward. Moving forward into what? It has to be moving forward away from the positions of the Word of God. If moving forward means moving forward off a cliff, then I don't want to be part of that forward moving movement. He says we have to go on a path that has been unexplored, or in other words, an unbiblical road. What does the Bible say in 2 Thessalonians 2? Let nobody deceive you in any way, for it will not come the day of the Lord unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Before the Lord comes, there must first be a great apostasy. That's biblical prophecy. This is now the Catholic Church, under the Pope, falling away from its own stand, from the biblical stand on sexual morality. If someone is in a sin that the Bible says will exclude them from salvation, eternal life, and lead them to judgment, if you love them, you don't bless their sin, because that's leading them to judgment. You share with them the truth in love and do everything you can to bring them to God and His will. And no matter what this document from the Pope is saying, it's blessing the sin. It's communicating to the Catholic Church and lands that it's okay. If somebody is suffering from a fatal disease that's destroying them and you know the cure and you can tell them about it, but you don't, instead you bless their disease, their state of disease, you're not loving them, you're hating them. Because instead of bringing them life, you're consigning them to death. Any sin that would keep somebody from salvation and everlasting life is fatal. If I don't give them the medicine but encourage them to stay in that state of dying, I'm not loving them, I am hating them.
That's an excellent point, Jonathan. Blessing sin is not loving, but in fact it's hating them as they go on to hell without forgiveness.
That's right. True love is speaking the truth. Ezekiel 3:18 says, if you don't warn someone in sin, you are responsible. You are accountable for them before God. The Pope has blood on his hands.
It'd be the same if the Pope were now to say, I'm going to bless couples in adultery. The Word of God is very clear. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor adulterers will inherit the kingdom of God. And to put it into modern terms, it says, and those practicing same-sex sexuality. That is the Word of God. Then it goes on to say, such were some of you, but you were cleansed. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. But now that the Catholic Church is saying you have our blessing in that state and actually in that union, well, those people are not going to be cleansed or saved. What you're doing is blessing them into hell. And the culture is not going to be reading that document anyway. They're just going to be seeing same-sex couples being blessed in Catholic churches. The Pope has opened up the floodgates. And once you open up the floodgates, don't expect that you'll be able to close them. Expect a flood. Once you can bless sin and disordered against natural law and grave depravity, you can and will bless anything. What will stop there from being ceremonies and blessings for those committing fornication? What about ceremonies for a father and daughter involved in incest, and the church blesses their union? Did an angel come down from heaven with a new revelation saying, hey guys, we had it all wrong. Sorry, God made a mistake. It's not really a grave depravity anymore. In fact, now you are to bless what you just called a grave sin. No. What happened was our civilization is descending headlong into apostasy and rebellion against God and his ways. And Pope Francis is following it, just as the liberal mainline apostate Protestant churches have done so as well. But this is even bigger. But now the Pope, now Catholicism. When you see that happening, know the time is late. How does a Pope or a church go from agreeing with the Bible that this is a grave sin to now blessing it? The same way the American Democratic Party once firmly said that marriage is between a man and a woman. The same way that one of their leaders said, quote, marriage is between a man and a woman and states must respect that. Who said that? Joe Biden said that, who then signed the Respect for Marriage Act that said marriage is not between a man and a woman and all states must respect that. They all said it was wrong, and then they all turned and said it was now good to be blessed, and now those who oppose it are to be stigmatized, marginalized, or punished. It's not even rational. How can you totally stand for something and then war against the very thing you totally stood for with no rational explanation for your metamorphosis? It's called apostasy. It's the turning away. It's as if a spell was cast on our culture. When you turn away from God, you open the door to these things. Was Joe Biden visited by an angel? No. Was the Pope visited by an angel? No, or certainly not a good one. And this is how it happens. First they say, this is definitely wrong, sin. Well, then they say, well, it's wrong, but it's not so simple. Then we're wrestling with it. That's what Obama said. He said he was wrestling with same-sex marriage for years until the polls said it was now about 50-50 or the majority in favor. And then all of a sudden, the wrestling match came to an end. And then the person reverses their original stand and announces that they are now for what they were against. They begin warring against the people who did not reverse themselves but stayed faithful. What the Pope just did is the papal version of don't ask, don't tell. So Pope Francis said his priest shouldn't be asking such questions, just give the blessing of the church. It's the Latin translation of don't ask, don't tell. But it never stops there. Don't ask, don't tell didn't stop there. It was just the means to open the door to what many now call the queering of the American military, to where we now have even taxpayer dollars paying for the surgical transitioning of fighting men or women. And those who are not for this policy are now persecuted. That's what this is about. It happened to the Democratic Party. It's happened to the Boy Scouts. It's happened to the school system. And now it's happening to the Pope and the Catholic Church. It's one thing when the Democratic Party goes this way, or the Boy Scouts, or Hollywood. But it's a whole nother animal, a much bigger one, and a prophetic sign when Rome and the Vatican and the Catholic Church go that way. And it will have massive ramifications. You see, the Catholic Church and Western civilization are intrinsically joined. If the Roman Catholic Church should blatantly war against the Word of God, then all Western civilization and much of world civilization will be affected. Then all the restraints will be removed for the unbeliever as well as the nominal believer. One of the key markers of the Christianization of Western civilization in the Roman Empire was the change that the gospel brought about in the realm of sexuality, sexual morality. Sexual immorality was part of paganism. Same-sex relations was part of paganism. Gender confusion was part of paganism. The gospel changed that. What we are now witnessing is the reversal of what happened. We're witnessing the return to paganism and to these ancient spirits. And now the change is being wrought by the church. For this to happen now in the Catholic Church is a major sign toward a post-Christian, pagan, apostate, end-time civilization. That's why this whole issue is so dangerous for the Christian faith, because it will attempt to end Christianity or true Christianity. For the true believer, for the true follower of God, it means something else. It will mean persecution. Mark my words, the Pope's new policy is not going to stop there. It was just the beginning. And it won't stop with unions. There will be marriages and full-out celebrations of what Catholic doctrine says is disordered and a grave depravity. It sounds like a science fiction where everybody gets taken over, or a horror movie or something else. Well, it sounds like biblical prophecy. See, the times of which the Bible foretells, it's now. It says, when men shall be lovers of self without natural affection, haters of the good, teaching perverse doctrines, that's the end times. The Bible says in the end times, the Jewish people will return to their homeland. Israel will be back in the world, and the entire world will focus on Israel and its controversy. Israel will be fighting for its existence. That's what the Bible says. We're here. The Bible says that in the last days, it will be a time when people will worship that which is not God. In the end, even to worship one called the Antichrist or the beast. Notice what Paul said. The apostasy, the falling away, will come first. Then he says the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. It says all the earth will worship this one. And it speaks about one called the false prophet who will lead the world to worship the Antichrist. Many see in this an end time false apostate church. Many have seen in this a union of apostate churches, even centered in Rome. The Bible speaks of a beast with seven heads that represents seven hills. The city famous for having seven hills, most famous, is Rome. Rather, it's as if all apostate churches will join together, but with Rome as its likely center. And what just happened, if anything, has pointed in that direction of a global apostate coming Christianity. Not just one denomination, but a union of many. Note, just a day or two before the Pope implemented the new policy, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, implemented the same policy. And just a few days after he did it, in the land of the Pope, Italy, a Catholic church featured a nativity scene with two Marys, as if two lesbians. Surprised? It is written that the end times will be marked by blasphemy. And now it's the church that's committing it. These things are to happen before the end, before Messiah comes. Many of you who listen to me, who follow my teachings, are from a Catholic background. Listen, I need to speak the truth here. I may step on some toes, but I have to, or it's not love. What just happened should tell you something very loud and clear. No pope can get you to heaven. No church can. There's only one who can, and his name is Jesus, the Messiah, your Lord, your Savior, and your Redeemer. No pope, no religious leader died to save you. Only one died to save you, Jesus. There will be no Catholic section in heaven, nor a Protestant section, or any other. Only one section, a saved section. The Pope will have to answer before God for what he did and what he's going to do. And you will stand before God, we all will. And on that day, you won't be able to say, well, this is what my church told me. You were accountable. God gave you his word, the Bible. Forget man, go by the word of God. God will speak to you directly through the word of God. Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you life. He said, you must be born again or you cannot enter heaven. It's not religion. It's your heart, you and God, a relationship, you and him. It says, as many as received him, not a church, not a tradition, as many as received him for real, they became the children of God. And they were not judged, but were saved for eternal life. My Catholic friends, this is for you a red flag. What just happened? This is the time you have to draw the line. You have to say no and resist and defy that which goes against the word of God. Anything that goes against the clear word of God, you have to put away. If you don't, and you don't do it now, you'll be swept away. One compromise at a time leads to destruction. You've got one life and one chance. No man or leader or institution is going to be responsible for your salvation. You are. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, the Pope won't be there to defend you. He'll be standing before God's judgment as well. And just as there are no denominations in heaven, but about being a true follower of Jesus the Messiah. And it will be about a false and apostate church on the other side and the faithful and true and real followers on this side. This is the moment when you have to make your stand before God once and for all. And for you who have been involved in same-sex relations, it is love to tell you too that these things will rob you, harm you, destroy you, keep you from salvation, lead you to judgment. But God loves you. He gave his life for you just as much as for anybody. And his arms are open to you to come out of the darkness and into the light. You want to make sure you're right with him. And the only way is to receive for real Jesus, to be born again for real, to follow him for real as his disciple. Can happen with a simple prayer. He'll keep you, he will guide you, he'll protect you.
That's right. A simple prayer of repentance can change a person's eternal destiny, that's for sure. But it starts with a prayer, and it leads to a change of life from living for sin to living for God.
Our nation, we're being led down the same path of ancient Israel to be destroyed. But Jesus Christ and the apostles brought the gospel to cast out these pagan spirits who weren't gods at all.
But they were demons. We'll continue the program with these comments from a previous interview we did with Jonathan Kahn. the gods were cast out by the gospel.
They were cast out by the gospel. They were cast out. It was the children in the Roman Empire that ended the gods, because it was the opposite then. It was that, you know, the parents were pagan, the children were becoming Christians. They stopped being taught the paganism. Just like today, it's the opposite. Children are not being taught the faith of the gospel, so they're turning to the gods. So the gods are saying, listen, we're going to get the children, and with the children, we're going to drive God out. We're going to end this Christian America. The gods bring destruction. The end of all these things is destruction. What is abortion? Destruction. What happens when you mutilate, alter a child, a boy or a girl? It ends up destruction. Destruction of marriage, destruction of culture. That's what they bring. They promise everything, and they give destruction, because if you serve these gods, you're going to end up paying a price for it, and America's paid a price for it. Just like when you said the apostle comes into it, the Christians came right into it. We're in the same war of the Christians and the gods the very first century. It's all back. They have a vengeance. They were cast out by Christians, so they have a vengeance, a vendetta against Christians. That's why there's a rising hatred of Christians, even in America and the West. And they also were cast out by the Word of God. So they're trying to cast the Word of God out of the culture. They were cast out by the name of Jesus. So they're trying to cast out the name of Jesus. So we are in a war that the entire future of this nation depends on. We're changing America, transitioning it from a Christian nation to a pagan nation, a nation that once said this was right, now it says this is wrong. Once it said this was wrong, now it's saying this is right. We're going to celebrate it.
Christ came to set the captives free, but young people today are increasingly taught to reject Christianity and turn away from biblical values. So in place of tolerance for freedom, we're seeing intolerance and anti-Christian belief. So what we're seeing is coming into bondage and oppression.
Yeah, look what happened to ancient Israel. Baal had to have come in with people saying, just be open. He's going to bless your fields. Just add it to your worship. Just be open. But in the end, once Baal gets a foothold, once they're established, then it's every knee shall bow. All of a sudden, the tolerance culture is gone, replaced by a cancel culture. They are dangerous. Look what happened with the first Christians. Right now in this cancel culture, trying to make Christians silence them, cancel them, and yet we have the power to win it. We cannot give in.
And the problem is in the churches, you don't hear about the power of the cross. People are not bold enough. He came to take away our sin. Otherwise, you're going to hell, but we don't hear that message.
Right. And right now, the gospel has gotten so watered down in the churches, there are many who are compromising. And you have many pastors who won't even talk about it. And so if we're weak with the gospel, this is part of the casting out of the gospel. The church is weakened. You're opening the door for them. You're doing exactly what they want. The power is in the gospel. The power is in our God. The power is in our Savior. We have the only God who gave himself as the sacrifice. The power is in that. He once cast out all these gods by the power of the gospel, but there were people who were unafraid and they were bold. We have to be that bold again.
The answer to the pagan gods is the real God. The antidote to the pagan spirits is the Holy Spirit. As God told ancient Israel, if you abandon me and worship other gods, you'll be destroyed.
The gods lead to judgment, and America, we're heading that way. So listen, we have a stronger power, but you have to stand it. You got to go all out. You got to be bold. The power of God is so much more powerful. God is giving us an encouragement. There still can be revival, but we have to be those who rise up like they did with the breaking of the altars of the Spirit and to wage war all out like Elijah.
That's beautiful. Jonathan, maybe you could give us a conclusion and maybe end our program with a prayer.
We have the true God. He is more powerful. Moses said, Michamocha be'elim Adonai, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. We cannot be half-hearted. You got to go all the way. Repent of whatever you have to repent of. Turn to God. Repentance leads to revival. And then let's go full blast. If these are the days of Elijah, then we have to be the Elijahs of the day. And pray for revival. Let's do it right now. Father, we just praise you and thank you. I ask for everybody listening. Father, touch their life. Father, I ask, Lord, we pray together that there be revival in America. Let there be repentance. Repentance brings revival. And Lord, touch those who know you and who need to be set on fire for the gospel, Lord. And we commit to it this day. And we praise you in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Or HaOlam, Light of the World.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you, Jonathan.
God bless you, guys.
Our guest has been Jonathan Kahn, author of The Return of the Gods.
There is no mention of Jesus in public school and no true history of Christian influence in America, but they do learn evolution and Greek mythology.
That's why less than 4% of American youth are Christians. They've been paganized at taxpayers' expense. Just as the gods of paganism prey upon the young, the children, we need to rescue these children from the pagan public schools and give them the gospel, a Christ-centered education. That's vital to ridding our nation of these pagan gods who are not any challenge to our God, our Lord Jesus Christ.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1872, The Pope versus the Commandments, Part 1. That's number 1872, The Pope versus the Commandments, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. And you can order a CD copy of the program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000 from Matthew 7:13-14. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.